Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Monday, March 27th special edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, we return from sick leave. We've been under the weather for a few weeks, but we return just in time to mourn Kentucky's demise. What did John Calipari do wrong in yesterday's game? There's a couple of things that we noticed. Look ahead to next year. Who's coming back? Who's gone? And is it the same thing all over again? The Final Four is set? How does your bracket look right about now? Odds are, not very good. If you've played the underdogs this year in the tournament, you're doing very well. A former Kentucky player has a record night over the weekend. A shocking revelation about a Reds player being injured in spring training. A 25-year anniversary of a movie that will make you feel very old. And yes, we do have a college basketball pick for tonight. So let's go.
You are listening live.
North Carolina 75, Kentucky 73. Luke May, number 32 for North Carolina, hits a shot to win it at the end. After the game, another number 32 who hit a big shot against Kentucky, Christian Laettner, sent out a tweet offering his congratulations to Luke May. It's funny how Laettner will side with a North Carolina player before he'll side with a Kentucky player. Just saying. And of course, Luke May, now a hero on the North Carolina campus, making an 8 a.m. lecture this morning. A couple of things I noticed about that video, which is all over the internet now. First of all, that video was taken at 8:05. Any professor worth his salt is not going to wait 5 minutes for that lecture to start. He would already be talking. And of course, North Carolina students gave Luke May a standing ovation. Why? Probably because he made it to class. Not because he hit the shot. They're so shocked to see him in class. But then again, most Carolina athletes take that African studies class that nobody attends and everybody makes an A. That the NCAA has still not ruled against North Carolina in that case, but I digress. Lots of second guessing today from the Big Blue Nation. When all of Calipari's best players got in foul trouble earlier in the first half, should he have left them all on the bench the entire first half? When Fox, Monk, and Adebayo, they were all with two fouls late in the first half. They're all on the bench. My thing about these foul situations is this. There's 40 minutes in a game, right? You get five fouls. Let's just divide it. You get one every 8 minutes. With 4 minutes to go in the first half, if you've got four fouls, get back out there. With 4 minutes to go in the first half, if you've got two fouls, dude, get back out there. If you remember the year that Louisville won the national championship 4 years ago, Michigan kept Trey Burke on the sidelines the entire first half with two fouls. What happened? Louisville put up a huge lead. Now, Michigan made a run in the second half, but it was just too much. I am never, ever down with benching your players the entire first half after they get two fouls. Bring them back in with 4 minutes to go. The shame of last night's game is that Isaac Humphries, who had in his previous six games a total of 2 points, had 12 points in 21 minutes last night. He was going to be the hero until that final shot. Dominique Hawkins, probably the best player on the floor for Kentucky last night, 10 points in 22 minutes. People, I was listening to a show this morning here in Lexington, and they said that, oh, Isaiah Briscoe played great. No, he didn't. 34 minutes, 7 points, 3 of 7 field goals, 1 of 4 free throws, and 3 turnovers. That's a great game? But the most painful player on the court for Kentucky was Luke May, of course, for North Carolina. He played 20 minutes, had 17 points, 6 of 9 shooting, and he's a 51% free throw shooter and hit 3 of 3, and I don't think he drew iron on any of those 3. But when Malik Monk hit another huge 3-pointer late in the game, by the way, you can blame Kennedy Meeks for not calling at least a timeout on that inbounds play when they got a 5-second call at the end. That is inexcusable. That's totally inexcusable. Why is he taking the ball out in the first place? If you don't want him to touch the ball, just put him on the other end of the court. I digress. But after Monk's big three-pointer to tie it, why didn't Calipari call a timeout? Get his best defensive team on the court. Get his defense lined up. I am not a big fan of this new trend Ooh, we're not going to call a timeout, so we can just let the kids play. You know what? Call a timeout. Get everybody set up, whether you're on offense or defense. That's dumb. So sadly for Big Blue Nation, North Carolina advances. Roy Williams, who looks exactly like Huckleberry Hound, goes on to the Final Four. 20th time North Carolina's been to the Final Four. 20 out of 78. That's over a quarter of the time. That's incredible right there. North Carolina's Theo Pinson, who I thought played a horrible game, number one for North Carolina, said, "We made the NCAA a lot of money today." Yeah, you did. But then again, it doesn't matter who you are. The NCAA makes a ton of money off the NCAA tournament. So who's the scapegoat for Kentucky in this one? Did they just get beat by the better team? What about Malik Monk? Last time these two teams played, he had 47 points. This time he had 12. De'Aaron Fox had 39 points against UCLA. Didn't come close to that against North Carolina. Even Chad Ford, the ESPN draft, NBA draft guru, says that the stock is now up after the tournament for Fox and Monk, and it's down for Bam Adebayo. And if you watched Bam in both those games in Memphis, you can see why. They tried to go to him. He just couldn't get anything done. So Kentucky's season is over. The three seniors are gone. Hawkins, Willis, Mulder. The three freshmen are likely gone. Monk, Fox, Adebayo. Now who else is gone? Is Humphreys going? Does this last game get him to stick around? What about Wenyen Gabriel? I thought they sent him home because he didn't play at all yesterday. Does Isaiah Briscoe stick around for another year, knowing that he's not going to be an NBA first-round draft pick like he thought he was 2 years ago? What about Sasha Kalea-Jones? He was one of the top recruited players in the country this last year, and he didn't even play once the SEC regular season started. So if you're worried about Kentucky, how do they replace all these guys, blah, 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 no worries. It's the same process over and over again. Calipari has all these freshmen coming in. He'll have a stacked roster again next year, and I can promise you, they'll be a top 10 pick. They'll be at least top 10, if not higher, like in the top 5, in the AP preseason poll next year. But you know who else is going to be in that top 10 next year? Florida. We'll talk about them in a second. You know who else is going to be in that top 10? Louisville, North Carolina. A lot of the same suspects will be in the top 10 again next year. So if you're worried that you're losing all these hotshot freshmen and you actually have seniors that are graduating for once, you think Calipari's worried about that? I'll guarantee you right now, he's already looking forward to next year, and he's already more excited about next season than he was for this season. Speaking of guys leaving, it's hard to believe Malik Monk, as many times as he was a no-show in some of these games, had the fourth highest season point total in the history of Kentucky basketball. And as much as he no-showed a lot of these games, it's hard to imagine that at all. So how does your bracket look today? 18.8 million people are on ESPN filling out a bracket. 657 of those 18.8 million have all the Final Four. Who are these guys anyway? South Carolina beat Florida to make the Final Four. Did you have that before the tournament? Did you have South Carolina over Florida? Yeah, nobody else did either. It was good to see old Darius Rucker, Hootie himself, tear up at that game yesterday. Gonzaga makes the Final Four. We were deathly sick over the last few weeks, but we did have Gonzaga over North Carolina to win the national championship. We're lucky to have two of the Final Four. And Oregon over Kansas to make the Final Four. By the way, Kansas now has 10 losses as a number one seed before the Final Four. No other team has more than 6 losses as a number one seed before they make the Final Four. That's crazy. If you're playing these games out in the desert, you've had a pretty good run if you're playing the dogs. Underdogs 57.1% against the spread. And even if you're playing the totals, if you go over the point spread, if you take over the point total, you're hitting 55.9%. And we talk about this all the time on this show. College basketball in 99% of America is a one-month-a-year sport. The ratings are sky high for this tournament. And do you know why the ratings are sky high? Because these college basketball games can't draw flies during the regular season. So why are they so highly rated now? Because everybody and their brother and their mother, from the ex-athlete CEO to Marge in accounting, has filled out a bracket. And they've got a rooting interest, and they all think they're going to make a few dollars on the tournament. and it's bragging rights, and it's pride, and it's ego, and it's a couple of dollars in your pocket. So yeah, people are going to watch the tournament. Of course the ratings are up. But you know what? In 2 weeks, nobody's going to give two flips about college basketball in most of the country again until next March when the tournament brackets come out. People around here don't like it when I say college basketball is a one-month-a-year sport. But for most of the real world, it is. Gonzaga is a 6-point favorite over South Carolina. By the way, South Carolina has been an underdog in every single game they've played, including against Marquette. And if you look at the bottom line bracket, we had Marquette beating South Carolina in the first round. We're not ashamed to tell you when we're wrong, because we're wrong quite a bit of the time. Everybody is. So you can say Oregon is this big underdog. In reality, they were a 1-point dog in the Sweet 16 round to Michigan. So you can basically say that's a toss-up. So they were truly an underdog in one game out of four. South Carolina was an underdog in all four. So the Final Four is set, and there's no Kentucky. And in fact, there's no UK major sporting event for over 5 months now, when Kentucky plays Southern Miss to start the football season Labor Day weekend. What's the difference between the bottom line and other shows in this market? Because we can carry a half-hour show by ourselves 4 days a week with no callers, no commercials, and no co-hosts. We can make it a little bit interesting. Not totally. We can make it a little bit interesting while the other shows in this market are going to be twiddling their thumbs, talking about 2019 recruiting classes, talking about which fast food restaurant is your favorite. Good luck with that. God bless you. But the quality of this show will not falter at all. In fact, it's only going to get better.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you. And I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
One more college basketball note. Archie Miller is now the head coach of Indiana. Archie Miller, the last 4 years, 5-4 in the NCAA tournament, and three of those four losses were to teams that eventually made the Final Four. Is this a good hire for Indiana? Yes, I think this is a better hire than Steve Alford. The only people in Indiana who wanted Steve Alford were people who wanted to go back to the past. Because I'm sorry, it's how a lot of people in Indiana live. They still live in the past. They still live in 1975 and 1976. They still live with Steve Alford. They still live with Bobby Knight when it comes to basketball. And that's why they can't win today, because they're still, when you think Indiana basketball, what do you think? You still think Bobby Knight. He hasn't coached there for 17 years. So for our money, Archie Miller is a good hire. In fact, he's a lot better hire than Steve Alford, who's never made it past the Sweet 16. And Alford has coached at two Power 5 schools. Unlike Archie Miller, who got Dayton to the Elite Eight, and Dayton will never be a Power 5 team. Just saying.
Looky here. Bobby Knight just threw his chair clear across the free throw lane.
And I think Fred Jensen.
Unbelievable.
NBA, in case you missed it over the weekend, former Kentucky player Devin Booker scored 70 points in a loss to Boston. Only 11 players in the history of the NBA have scored over 70 points. Now, Devin Booker is one of them. Joining the likes of Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain, David Robinson, David Thompson, and a laundry list of Hall of Famers. Is Devin Booker a Hall of Famer? No. And if you watch the end of that game, although Phoenix, who is definitely one of the worst teams in the NBA, had no shot of winning that game, they were letting the other team score. They were calling timeouts. They were doing whatever it took to get Devin Booker as many points as he could. So for my money, I don't put a lot of stock into that. But the bottom line, he still got 70. So congrats to him. It's just not as legit as some of these others. And by the way, speaking of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, there's still never been a highlight of that game. There's never been one highlight of him putting the ball in the basket. Do you know the only highlight for Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game? He held up a piece of paper that somebody had written 100 on it. That's the only highlight we have from that game. So it could have happened. It might not have happened. We don't know. We don't have any proof other than Wilt Chamberlain holding up a piece of paper that says 100. I can write a piece of paper right now that says 25. Does that mean I scored 25 points in a game? Probably not.
We now return to the NBA on TNT on LSD.
Man, I'm out my mind!
Otherwise, it's The NBA season is dragging to a close as slowly as possible. The new current stand in the NBA, rest. When should a guy rest? When can we rest? When can LeBron rest? Why does all the Saturday ABC nationally televised games, why are they all littered with superstar players who are resting? Patrick Beverly today said, it's a disgrace that players rest. Well, it's a disgrace for a player like you because you're not a superstar. Ask some of the big name players. LeBron thinks he deserves it. Michael Jordan didn't think he deserved it. He was 39 years old playing 82 games a year. Something's got to be done about this resting thing. But to be honest, there's nothing the league or anybody can do about it. If a team wants to rest their players, they should rest their players. Because I can promise you, the NBA is not cutting back from 82 games. Have you ever heard of a league of any sort cut back on the number of games? No way.
Boom shakalaka!
How boring is the NBA? 2 weeks ago, the Atlanta Hawks were 37-29 in fifth place in the Eastern Conference. Since then, they've lost seven games in a row, so they're now 37-36, and they're still in fifth place in the Eastern Conference. Sheesh, wake me when this is over.
He's heating up. He's on fire.
The biggest star of the NBA for the last couple of weeks has been the parent of a potential draft pick, LaVar Ball. Lonzo Ball's father has been making the media rounds, and in fact, he's going to be back on ESPN today after he was on about 3 days last week. Just goes to show you, if you're a train wreck father, not only will you get on TV, eventually you're going to get a lot of money, a reality show, all kinds of stuff. LaVar Ball, the new Kim Kardashian of the NBA.
And there's a war going on between Lambert and Parrish.
Parrish takes Lambert to the ground with a right forearm.
Lambert, he had it coming. He had it coming.
And Parrish said, I had enough for you, Lambert, and he just let him have it.
Lambert's on the ground, and you know what the first thing Lambert said was? He went, they throw him out.
We talked about Michael Jordan earlier. Apparently, there's going to be a 25-year anniversary of that video game, the iconic video game from the 90s, that you can hear sound bites on our show. When you hear the He's on Fire sound bite, when you hear the boom shakalaka soundbite, that is all from the NBA Jam video game. But the one thing that was wrong with that game, Michael Jordan wasn't on it. The two players from the Bulls were Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant. Who wanted to play with Horace Grant? Michael Jordan, contractually, money, whatever, would not allow himself to be featured on NBA Jam while everybody else in the league did. But apparently, the makers of the game made a secret version with Michael Jordan. And now they're planning on releasing it 25 years later. I might have to get out the old Nintendo if that happens, seeing how good Michael Jordan really was on that game. Of course, I'd have to take out Tecmo Bowl, which is still in my Nintendo. Bo Jackson's still running for 500 yards a game in that game, even though I turned it off.
Okay, we all know how much Cleveland loves Tecmo Bowl, so let's start playing. I'm the Raiders, I'm Bo Jackson, and hopefully he'll show up.
That's no fair, Bo Jackson's too fast.
Guys, do we want Cleveland back or don't? Oh, here we go. I see. A zig! A touchdown! Yeah! I won the game, and now I'm gonna jump Bo Jackson!
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed last weekend because it's the last weekend without Major League Baseball. Until November. News from the Reds camp. Here's a shocker for you. Devin Mesoraco, a man with 95 at-bats in the last 2 years, is going to be quote-unquote unlikely ready for opening day. Wow. Color me shocked. The guy's got basically an artificial hip. He can't play any other position on the field, so he has to catch. So he has to squat behind the plate for an hour and a half, 2 hours every game. And you're telling me he's unlikely ready to play. Well, hog my hooter. I can't believe that. Keep in mind, this guy, 2 years ago, was the opening day cleanup hitter for the Reds. He has zero home runs since that day. Oh, but he's hurt. Well, I'm sorry. You're also getting paid $29 million. Devin Mesoraco, unlikely ready to play. Raisel Iglesias, your alleged closer, not going to be ready for opening day. Homer Bailey. There's a shocker. He's not going to be ready for opening day. Anthony DeSclafani, he's not going to be ready for opening day. And even worse news, since our last show, Jumbo Diaz was just flat out released by the Reds. Boy, I can't believe that. The over-under in Las Vegas is 72.5 wins for the Reds this year. If they get anywhere close to 72.5 wins, I'm going to be shocked. I'll be honest, I'm already on the under in this, and I'll be even more honest, you should be too. No way the Reds hit 73 wins this year. Have you seen their pitching staff? Your opening day starter is a guy named Scott Feldman, who they signed a week before spring training started. Good luck. And in fact, if you looked at the scores over the weekend in the spring training games, one game had Seattle 7, Cincinnati 6, and then the game yesterday, the Cubs beat Cincinnati 22-4. It's almost like the Reds brought back last year's bullpen just to pitch that game. But thankfully, Jumbo Diaz, J.J. Moobsman Hoover, and the rest of the Hee-Haw gang have been replaced by even more mediocre bullpen arms. So good luck to the Reds this year. By gosh, you're going to need it.
Lansford, good hitting Oakland third baseman, and Myers bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air. Foul, off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Reds have done the absolute improbable by defeating the club considered to be the best in Major League Baseball, and they've done it in a four-game series sweep.
Most of the spring training buzz event has been about the World Baseball Classic. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't watch one pitch. But I did see Tim Kirkshen on ESPN over the weekend making his big preseason predictions. And he, amazingly enough, predicted the Cubs over the Indians in the World Series. Wow. Way to step out on a limb there, Kirkshen. Wait, let me look this up real quick. Oh yeah, that's exactly the World Series result from last year. Unbelievable. Come on, Kirkshen. Put a line in the sand and take a side. Step out on a limb. Nobody cares about your predictions. So at least make them entertaining.
Man, you corny.
Next say something while I'm talking is getting shot. Please believe that.
Speaking of entertaining, there was a 6-year-old son of the Cleveland Indians general manager on the radio over the weekend. And he, the kid, broke the news that hotshot shortstop for the Indians, Francisco Lindor, is going to get a 6-year contract extension. And since the kid said it on the radio, the general manager had to release it after that because, well, the cat's out of the bag now. We can't hide this. That's what we need. We need the kids of these people in high-ranking places to be interviewed more because those are the only people that are going to be honest. Most people, you're just going to get the miss. You're going to get the shade. You're going to get the BS. So thank you, 6-year-old kid, son of the Cleveland Indians general manager, for your breaking news. He's already got a future in the sports media lined up.
All the money.
Don't worry, Sidney. I've hustled a hell of a lot better players than you before. Don't put up no brick.
Would you stop yapping and let brother shoot?
You want to feel really old? 25 years ago today, Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, white men can't jump. Somehow, Woody Harrelson is hooking up with Rosie Perez, which is a miracle in itself. Yet another unbelievable part of this movie, but I digress. But for trash talk, 25 years ago, this was pretty good. Although you did have Dwayne Wayne from A Different World as one of the supporting characters who couldn't talk trash if he was living in a garbage can like Oscar the Grouch. I hate to admit this, I had this movie poster in my room. The White Men Can't Jump movie poster. Snipes and Woody looked a lot more menacing back then than they do now. Just saying. But still, I can't believe this movie's 25 years old. I am officially ancient now. Props to the all-time great Billy Ho.
Billy.
Shut up, man.
Billy.
Shut up!
Billy, listen to me.
What?
White men can't jump.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
Now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
It is Mac Daddy Stogie time. During our illness, of course, we were never too ill not to put some jelly beans down on some games, but since we didn't have podcasts to document them, we cannot count them as winners. But if you think that we are not going to, that we're not going to pick a game tonight simply because the NCAA tournament is on hiatus until Saturday, you have lost your mind. We head to the CBI tournament, whatever CBI stands for. The Wyoming Cowboys travel to Coastal Carolina. I don't know the nickname for that team, but I don't need to know the nickname because I can look at numbers. Wyoming, 21-14 on the year, but 22-11 against the spread. Very impressive. One of the best teams of the nation against the number. Coastal Carolina, 19-17, 16-13 against the spread. And if you don't think this is a huge game, this game is going to be on ESPNU tonight. So, of course, it's a big deal. And let's just be honest, it's the only college basketball game in town tonight. But we do like Coastal Carolina. They're getting 1 point. Wyoming's a 1 point favorite. Wyoming's a better team. They've covered 67% of the time in the desert. But they don't cover tonight. Nobody walks right into Coastal Carolina and takes down Coastal Carolina, especially if you're Wyoming. Wyoming has covered 8 of their last 9 games. And if you followed us all year long, you know we love going against teams who are on fire against the spread because regression to the mean always takes place. And that's why we've hit over 68% of our picks this year against the spread. So give us Coastal Carolina getting a point. And in fact, I don't need the point. I don't want the point. Straight up winner. CBI Fever. Catch it. It lasts a couple of days between the Elite Eight and the Final Four. We'll take Coastal Carolina over Wyoming, our Mac Daddy Stogie of the night. And you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
The player haters ball gives us an opportunity to hate on a diverse array of mock-ass mocks, trick-ass mocks, punk bitches and skip-scap skanks and scallywags, hoes, heifers, hee-haws, and hula-hoos.
And that does it for the Monday, March 27th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.